Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hello and welcome to the worst matches and pay-per-views as voted for by the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Cohen, DAD, your GM, that champion. I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell, who loves bad wrestling, and Adam Blompier, who also loves bad wrestling.
Who loves wrestling in general, never forget. Loves all wrestling.
All wrestling. Loves making lists, loves doing fancy booking. Can't stop him.
Just you try.
He's got so many ideas for both of them.
Pete, do you remember that meeting that we had where we took the suggestion, was like, well, maybe we'll take some of the lists off Adam so he doesn't have to do all of them. And Adam was like, don't do that. I want to do all of the lists. Give me more of them.
I'll die first.
Anyway, welcome to the worst wrestlers as voted for by the Wrestle Talk podcast. So if you haven't seen any of the other episodes, the way that this has worked is that we sent out a questionnaire form to all of the on-screen talent. So that's the three of us here, Ollie, Laurie, Andy, Tempest, etc. And we also sent it out to our website writers, our wonderful moderation team, our social media manager, and the wider extended Wrestle Talk universe, people who've appeared on Quizzlemania, influencers, that sort of thing, to get the best version of this list possible. And this is actually the first time that we've also done a worst of list. Last year we did best wrestlers and best matches and pay-per-views. And this year we thought we'd have the good idea, because do you know what YouTube loves? YouTube loves negative Nancys.
Sure does.
So you put worst on something, dem clicks, they all love us.
I mean, unless you're going by comments on any review of mine ever, in which case I'm just too negative, you know. Can't be having that.
Let it play out, Pete.
There was that one email as well someone sent to me. I can't watch it anymore.
Can't watch Pete. He's terrible.
Pete's negativity.
I gave him a chance. He's just terrible, isn't he?
It is cruel to put Pete out there every week to watch NXT. It can't be good for your psyche, Pete. You hate it so much.
I don't really like SmackDown either. I'll be real. I have no palate cleanser. You have AEW, Luke. I have nothing.
You have Rampage.
It's only an hour, though. That's the thing. Versus 4 hours of NXT and SmackDown.
Ugh. Hey, I think it's fair. Anyway, so let's dive into this list. The way that the voting works is that people give their 5 nominations. The one that ranks top gets 5 points, second one gets 4, third gets 3, so on and so forth. And then I collect all of those points up and we have our list. So do we have any predictions of what will be on this list, Adam?
Zombies.
Thanks, Pete.
That's my guess.
Pete did not be restrained. Zombies for sure, Orton Wyatt for sure. So the prediction is, my big prediction for this list is, it's not going to appear, but it should, which is the exploding ring barbed wire death match. That match was a detriment to the company, and as such, I think belongs on the list. But I don't think people are going to put it on there because Omega and Mox, etc.
Okay, Pete, what about you?
It's a good call. I like that. I feel like we might see Blood and Guts on there, which is, I guess, not necessarily fair because it was just the ending angle, but also the ending angle was really important and they kind of did it right. It was just shot wrong. So like the match itself wasn't actually bad. It was just the way they filmed it. I don't know whether we're going to see it or not, but maybe we should, because it was one of the most talked about, like, negatively received things that AEW's done this year, as well as the exploding barbed wire death match.
I can reveal that some of the matches that didn't make it into the list in terms of like got one nomination, you know, like a one pointer nomination or maybe a couple of one pointer nominations. Wardlow versus Jake Hager, their MMA fight that they did. I'm pretty sure Tempest.
Oh, yeah.
That was the thing that happened.
That was silly.
Lana versus Nia Jax from Raw. Eva Marie versus Doudrop from Raw. I like this. The Miz versus Drew McIntyre from Elimination Chamber. You know, that angle. Yeah. Worst match of the year.
Was that you, Luke, by any chance? Or was that you?
It was not me.
In fairness, we probably should have limited it to pay-per-view matches, right? Because we could do any number of matches from Raw or NXT for any week, and they would be the worst matches in any given.
Well, that's what I thought. Mostly people did vote for pay-per-view matches. There were a few TV matches that got through. So, for example, the Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Walking out on the match but acting like they won. That did get 5 points.
That broke Ollie. To get
it. Yeah, it did. It really did. That nearly made it into the top 15, but it didn't quite get enough votes. Same with like Damian Priest versus Elias got 4 points, and I have no idea what that match was.
Couldn't tell you.
Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal from SummerSlam also got 2 points. And the only reason I bring that up is because I would wager everyone forgot that happened.
I was literally about to say, that match happened at SummerSlam? What are you talking about? Are you gaslighting me? I don't think that happened.
Yeah. It was over a motorbike.
Is it a bicycle vehicle? A motorbicycle vehicle?
Slam cycle vehicle.
The slam cycle vehicle. And Cody Rhodes versus Anthony Ogogo from Double or Nothing also managed to get itself 2 points. In the top 15, but didn't make it into the top 10, Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg from SummerSlam did manage to get 5 nominations and 8 points, which wasn't enough to push it in, as well as Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler from Hell in a Cell.
That didn't make the top 10?
6 points. 6 points across 4 nominations.
That is a huge shock. She possessed Nia Jax.
Oh, yeah. I was like, why was that match so bad? What the hell happened?
She looked at Reginald and he just went... the dog worst.
Yeah. Do you know what also nearly made it into the top 10 as well? I mean, that's a lie. It didn't nearly make it into the top 10. But one person nominated it as their worst match of the year, which gave it the full 5 points, which I just want to stress again, means they thought it was as bad collectively as Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch from Survivor Series.
What?
I know, right?
That was a really good match.
Yeah. It's the only good match on that card.
It's the best match those two have had.
Yeah.
What?
Well, yeah, probably.
Let's get into the actual top 10 then, because this nearly didn't make it into the top 10, but a final few votes did push it in. It got 3 nominations in total, making 10 points. Karrion Kross versus Jeff Hardy from Monday Night Raw. Karrion Kross's main roster debut, where he lost in about 2.5 minutes to a roll-up like an absolute chump while was NXT champion. NXT's your show when you talk it through. He had a big match to promote that was coming up like the following week.
Can't have him for the title anymore. Jeff Hardy, new NXT champion. That's just how it works, right? What a waste. Oh my God. And then he got rebranded as the Gimp. Like, that's got to be genuinely one of the worst NXT call-ups of all time. For a guy that was so protected in NXT to be like the dominant force, and he was beating guys left, right, and center. You know, he retained in a fatal five-way against the other like big top stars in NXT, and then just loses in a roll-up. So, nothing against Jeff Hardy, but to Jeff Hardy, who has not been protected in WWE at all, and at the time was like a lower mid carder. Like, what? What are you thinking?
Adam, you do a lot of fantasy booking. So can you picture the booking meeting where this conversation happened and the rationale? Like, if pretend that I'm Conrad Thompson and this is something to wrestle, and you're Bruce Pritchard, and I'm saying, like, Bruce, who booked this? Defend this now. What would Bruce Pritchard say?
The defense behind it, and I think it's actually been talked about, is that it wasn't designed to get Karrion Kross over. This whole thing, it was designed to get Scarlett over, because he was going to go on a losing streak until Scarlett joined him, and then he was going to go on a winning streak. It was designed as a kind of way of putting the two of them and making them a kind of demonic power couple, but also kind of really kind of pushing her, because obviously she ticks all of Vince's boxes. Not anymore, obviously, she's released, but like, it's so ass backwards, though, because, like, you don't have the goodwill to book like that with the fans. You haven't booked consistently enough so the fans will, one of Pete's favorite phrases, let it play out. There's not an obvious story. It's just, it fits way too much in with how you've screwed up the rest of your NXT call-ups to be just like, oh yeah, this is par for the course. What a depressing, bleak time. And then you just turn off Karrion Kross. You stop caring about him because WWE have not built up your investment to actually let this story play out, which could have been an interesting story if this had never happened before. If he lost as NXT champion and it was the first time, literally, this has happened exactly before. Charlotte appeared on Raw before, like, one of the very first takeovers, hyping her huge match with Sasha Banks and lost to Natalia in 3 minutes.
Oh, like, yeah,
they've literally done this before.
That match was put on Raw as well to promote the takeover match as well.
She wore the belt to the ring. Yep.
Yep. Good job, guys.
This company, yeah.
And Adam, like, the problem is that the logic falls apart is because A, he won the following week, and B, Scarlett was with him in NXT. Like, so
I know.
It doesn't add up.
Like, as a crazy little counter argument, why don't you just have Scarlett be with him on his debut and just cut out the first bit where he loses, and he just goes on a winning streak with Scarlett from the get-go?
That's too complicated, Pete.
I can't follow that story, Pete. Speaking of storylines that a lot of people didn't really like, in at number 9, 11 points across 5 nominations, Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie from SummerSlam 2021. Again, I would probably wager a lot of people forgot this happens. Pete?
Weren't some people, like, really excited for this match? Or some people were at least thinking, like, something was going to happen in it, and it just turned out to just be a match.
No, I
think for me, I was curious as to what wacky thing they were going to do they've done so much with Alexa Bliss in the pandemic era, where they were able to do camera trickery and stuff. Like, she literally teleported into different costumes and things like that, which they were able to do. You know, the lighting rig nearly falling onto Randy. Yeah, exactly. Throwing fire out of her hand. She literally threw her a Hadouken, like, in a match. And then they got back in front of fans.
Do you remember Randy Orton's stupid mask that he had to wear when he got burned?
Big, with his big nose
his
in
big
it.
Big red nose.
Not like little Rudolph.
You know, in Tempest, like, his little pink mask that Tempest has.
Get him! Get Tempest! Hell yeah!
I didn't want to say it, because, you know, LIW and stuff, but also, yeah.
He's not safe on any podcast stream. Get his ass!
And so I thought, okay, when they're back in front of fans, they won't be able to do any of this stuff. And then, lo and behold, in a match this year with Doudrop, this happens. The doll winked at her. We all saw it, and you heard a crowd react to it. So then we were like, well, what are they going to do at SummerSlam then? And as it turned out, nothing was the answer. Alexa Bliss just won.
Amazing. Yeah, like, you're right. It's the anti-crap. It's just something you come expecting at least something to talk about, and there's nothing to talk about. Is that worse than her possessing Nia Jax to slap Reginald? Probably is, right? Because it's SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, I think there were some people that did like it because this was, you know, Alexa Bliss was a more vicious side of the character, and people were like, oh, maybe that's what they'll do with the Bliss character instead. And what it turns out was, no, she'll just take some time off TV, and we haven't seen her since. So, oh, she did challenge for the belt like 1 week and then just disappeared.
Yeah, it was Charlotte. Charlotte ripped up the doll and then she left.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, it was a pay-per-view, yeah. Wasn't it? Mm. They had a match.
Yeah. Wasn't it Extreme Rules? Was it the one after?
I think it was Extreme Rules.
It was Extreme Rules. Yeah, it was while I was off. Yeah, you're right. I totally forgot about that. Well, number 8. 13 points with less nominations than Alexa Bliss versus Eve Marie. Only 4 nominations for this, but 13 points. AEW Revolution 2021. Kenny Omega versus John Moxley. Barbed wire exploding death match.
Deserved.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Like, Ollie and I thought when we discussed this that this might make it onto the list, but the argument I made was the finish is a bad finish. I mean, it's and I'm not going to say bad, unfortunate finish, because the explosions didn't go off and it looked so rubbish. It looked so like rinky dink and cheap, and it was like, you know, you see exploding barbed wire death matches and you go in with a certain expectation, and what this was a couple of sparklers, and it looked so bad. And I felt so awful for Eddie Kingston and John Moxley having to sell all of this, and Excalibur trying to sell it on commentary as well. And I could feel like, you know, the crowd booed it and everything like that. But like, the match itself was really good. I really liked the match itself. And I liked the conclusion of it. But that, yeah, the visual there. It is such a shame, isn't it? But like, maybe because of that visual, you're right. Like, this did hurt the company, like, as Pete said, because just a couple of weeks later was Blood and Guts that also had a bad visual ending. But yeah, like, you didn't think it would make it onto the list, but it did make it into the top 10.
Deserved. It made AEW seem like a joke, which is like, and no matter how good the rest of the match is, that is the thing that matters. It made AEW seem really low rent. Like, it's the worst thing I think that's happened to AEW outside of the Matt Hardy incident, I think. Mm-hmm. Just because it's the one time where it's just like, oh man, it's that kind of stuff that makes you not want to tune in for the next one. And no matter how good the rest of the match is, it wasn't my kind of match anyway. I think the gimmick, little explodies on the barbed wire was a little silly. But yeah, it doesn't matter how good the rest of the match is. Like, it really hurt AEW, and a shame, and like, not assigning blame or anything like that. It's just, yeah, it was one of the worst matches of the year.
I think it's a testament to AEW and its fan base. And also, I think, and, you know, to put him over, the booking power of Tony Khan and the promoting power that he's got, the next pay-per-view wasn't a dud. And actually, the next pay-per-view did just as good numbers, even better numbers, in fact. And then All Out, obviously, did even better numbers after that. But this really could have been bad for them, Pete.
Yeah, it could have been terrible. And also, I just want to just take everything aside and like, the goodwill that the fans have with AEW and stuff, and like, you know, how unfortunate it was for Kingston and Moxley, and like, you know, the commentary trying to sell it and all that stuff, and assigning the blame because, you know, it was a third party company that was doing all the explosive and they didn't do it right. So just take all that aside for a second. It was objectively hilarious to watch Kingston and Moxley try and sell that. I could not stop laughing when I first watched it. It is objectively so funny.
The commentary as well, just like, oh my god. Oh.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh my god.
No. Genuinely, you like hearing their thought process of being like, right, that's bad. Do we bury it, or do we stick with kayfabe? And just watching them try to navigate that tightrope is just, oh, it makes you want to eat your entire fist.
I know, right? Like, I can't watch it back. Like, I really struggle to watch it back because I can feel like I just want to crawl inside myself and be like, oh, everything about this. And actually, I would say that finish, I think is worse than anything that WWE has had all year long.
Disagree.
Extreme Rules.
The Extreme Rules.
And the reason why I would say that what I mean by that as well is that, like, in terms of how it made me feel, because like that the finish to Extreme Rules was just like, well, that's very silly. Like, that was just, but like, it's also, it's that I fully expect that from WWE, I suppose, in a way. Maybe I don't know if they're fully.
God, you're institutionalized. you're apologizing for WWE because you've just come to expect it. They did that finish on purpose. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's
to me.
The thing.
That's okay, yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair. Well, speaking of things not going to plan, in at number 7, with 20 points across 7 nominations from WWE Raw, someone starts a shooting, Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax. Was it a shoot? Was it a work? It weren't very good. Pete?
I watched this recently again. Oh, it's not good, is it? Because they're just wrestling, and then they just stop wrestling. Like, she's just pushing her against the ropes, and then she just, like, hits her a bit, and then Nia's like, what are you doing? And then Charlotte's like, yeah, let me run off the ropes, and then I'll get on it. And then she tries to jump on her because she expects Nia to give her a Samoan drop, and then Nia's like, nah. It's so awkward. Like, it just saps all, and the whole crowd were just like, what's everyone doing here? This is so confusing. They just stopped wrestling. It's not a wrestling match anymore. It's a bad match because it's not wrestling anymore.
Yeah, this was a moment where it was like, if it was a shoot, it's a bad shoot. If it's a work, it's a worse work. Like, because like it, no outcome of this looked good, Adam.
No, and also like, there's a comedy factor slightly to it, but uncoordinated wrestling is really dangerous. So I just like I have like kind of no sense of humor when it comes to kind of like stuff like this happening. Like, if you can't like just call an audible and finish the match. If you're having a brain fart for some reason and just like all of your wrestling leaves you in that moment, call an audible and end the match. Do not try and jump on each other and uncooperate with the moves, because that's how someone gets dropped on their neck. And yeah, no, bleh, gross, horrible.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Well, up next on our list, you mentioned it earlier, at number 6, 21 points across 7 nominations, including 2 top-level nominations. I think we could argue, similar to Moxley Omega, Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor. Pete, I think you've actually made this point quite a lot, actually, is that it was a pretty good match, actually, a really good match, but that finish really soured people on it.
Oh, it made absolutely... It was a complete joke. It was because it not only ruined the demon who'd been, you know, super duper protected, our amazing Finn Balor, whatever. It's the fact that there was no follow-up. And, you know, for all the people that say, you know, oh, let it play out, this might be a new thing for Roman. And I thought it was going to be something about, even if Roman just included that to be like, you know, as I'm the head of the Samoan dynasty, the people who've passed in the Samoan dynasty are looking down and they must have given me some luck or something. That is at least referencing it to some degree. It's a stupid finish in and of itself, but if you at least reference it, continue it in a character, then that's mildly better. But they just didn't talk about it. The episode of SmackDown afterwards, Pat McAfee said, well, that must have been the gods above on commentary. And that's it. That's the only reference they made to it. This made everyone look terrible. What a waste of time.
Yeah, it was real bad. There's actually, and I text Pete about this on the after I watched it the day after, this made my kid cry. My kid, I watched this pay-per-view like the morning, like, you know, a couple of days later with the kid. I took her downstairs and she was silent throughout the whole thing. We were just cooing. She was asleep for some of it. She was awake and I was just sort of cooing at her. The finish happened. As soon as that red light came on, she started to cry. And I said, and I texted Pete and I was like, that finish made my kid cry.
That finish made my kid cry. Making kids cry, brah. WWE. WWE successfully managed to kill their two Undertaker replacements in the same year. It's amazing how they've done it. They're two big supernatural boss characters. They destroyed them both in the same year.
Oof, that is
good job, everyone.
At number five, 24 points across 10 nominations. I was stunned to see that this was only 15 minutes long because I'm pretty sure it's still going now. Tag Team Turmoil from WrestleMania 37. Freaking Nora.
Can't believe we're talking about it. It's so, so uneventful. So boring. So nothing. But it was on WrestleMania. It was the second match back in front of fans or something crazy.
I'm just checking. It was night one. I couldn't remember what night this was on. Night one. It was Lana and Naomi. Billy Kay and Carmella. Remember Billy Kay and Carmella were a tag team. Brooke and Mandy Rose. The Riot Squad and Natty and Tamina. None of those teams are together at this point either. Half the people involved are gone. It was. And I went to Wikipedia because I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this went to like 35 minutes. Fit 14 minutes and 15 seconds and it felt like a lifetime. Adam, you thought it was nothing. Anything else you'd want to add on it?
So genuinely, no spoilers, but this features on my 10 worst pay-per-view matches of the year list. And I wrote in the script, it's like, I cannot believe they booked half an hour for this match. That's insane on WrestleMania night one. And I was like, oh, well, I better do my due diligence and go and check it. Like you say, it was like 14 minutes? Are you kidding me? That can't be right. Someone's hacked Wikipedia again. I can't believe how, like, with fans back. Fans, and they're like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think the fans necessarily kind of like died because they were more involved in the ironic Tamina thing, but like, how do you
no Adam, according to the comments, it's not ironic.
No, everyone, not ironic at all. Yeah, everyone loves Tamina, absolutely. I just,
she is now.
How could you put that in front of your first fans back? Here you go, this was worth waiting for.
Pete, Mandy Rose fell over.
She fell over on the ramp.
Oh,
I don't put the NXT Women's Championship on her. Punishment.
What? That's all I have to say about this match. Like, it just kept going and going and go, and it was still 14 minutes somehow. I don't understand.
That can't be right. I don't think that's right. Well, at number four, this certainly didn't go 14 minutes. And I think I disagree with... Okay, I'm curious to see what the reaction to this one is. 31 points, 11 nominations. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair from SummerSlam 2021.
Ooh. Right? I get it.
Yeah, I know. At the time, we were there. We all watched this live together. And our reaction to it was... That's bad. Like, that was really bad. That really hurt Bianca Belair. It didn't make Becky look good either. Like, in a way, because it felt like she was taking away something that people were really invested in. But as we now know, it was for the start of this heel gimmick character that I think some people like, and I think a lot of people don't. But do you think that has justified this squash match? Because it was a squash match, and it made Bianca Belair look so dumb. Andy, I think, said, was like, I think he just said, well, that was stupid. That was his instant reaction to this. Pete, what do you make of it as a match, but what do you also make of it on this list? At number four, no less.
I don't think it should be as high as it is, but I understand people's frustration about it. I think that having her beat Bianca at SummerSlam is a good start to this heel character. I think it's the way she won that people have an issue with, because it was, they were having a match and then she punched her and she hit a move and she won. She didn't really cheat. She just won in a few seconds. It just made Bianca look terrible. And for all the goodwill that WWE had surrounding Bianca, because she had a really good year winning the Rumble and then main eventing WrestleMania against Sasha Banks, she felt like a new star that's not one of the four horsewomen. That's amazing. And then you get to SummerSlam. If Becky had cheated to win, I think that changes the story completely. It's the fact that it was just, Becky's just better than her. Just beat her in a few seconds. Bianca's rubbish, isn't she? That's what, yeah, I think has got people so frustrated, which I can understand.
Adam, what do you reckon?
Pete, I think you've absolutely nailed that, pal. Because, but also, Luke, what you said at the beginning really resonated. It made Becky look bad. It didn't make Becky look heel. It was, yeah, a poorly told story. It was... Yeah. I completely agree, Pete. If they'd wrestled for like 10 minutes, ref goes down, Becky goes to grab a chair and just does the Steve Austin, you know, just wails on her, and then pins her and then smirks. You know, just sign, you know, don't have to dumb it down, but like signpost what you're doing, because we had no idea what they were doing. What we thought they were doing was Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 9.
Yes.
That's what we thought they were doing. Just come back. Oh, you love me. Therefore, you don't care about Bianca anymore. Therefore, I win quickly. Let's get on with the celebration. And that felt, yeah, horrible. So sour. Genuinely almost ruined SummerSlam. Like people, it's all people wanted to talk about.
I remember listening to Stephen Larson's review of it the next day, and they were talking about, like, the only way this makes sense is if you're turning Becky heel. And I remember I was in the shower listening to it, and I was like, well, they'll never do that. Like, you wouldn't just turn, you wouldn't bring Becky Lynch back and turn her heel. That would be madness. She's so beloved. And I think that's because they did a very poor job of telegraphing this. It's frustrating now as well, because her gimmick is now she always wins with that roll up and holding onto the ropes. You could have started that here and then really played that up across the next series of matches that she has. Because, like, they really are building up to that spot where someone eventually does kick out of that move, and that's when she loses. But yeah, I agree. I think this was just a poorly told story. Speaking of which, at number three, 41 points, 16 nominations, including one top-level nomination from Fastlane 2021, Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton. They did intergender wrestling this year.
Pissed off Randy's wife, this did.
I was going to say, the sexy pin. That's all I remember from this match is the lighting rig falling down and the sexy pin. Yep.
And Crispy Fiend. Crispy Fiend.
Oh, yeah.
This is where Crispy Fiend came back. This is where Crispy Fiend debuted.
Bendis Crispy Fiend.
That's it. And then at WrestleMania, everyone was like, oh, it's going to be like the Burnt Fiend is going to be wrestling. I wonder how it's going to be different. And then on his entrance, went, normal Fiend again. And everyone went, oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Magic back to regular Fiend.
All right. And then lost.
Yeah, probably because it was impossible to wrestle in that suit. Yeah. Right, well, let's talk about this match. Yeah. It was a stunt show is what it was, because it was Randy Orton walking around the ring and then, you know, the lighting rig falling down. There were some Hadoukens and this, that and the other. Then Crispy Fiend shows up and Alexa Bliss pins him sexily. Adam, what do you make of it?
I mean, unlike the Fiend, it wasn't well done. I think it was, but I'm surprised. This is the one that surprises me. I think it's fine. Like, I don't get me wrong, like, I don't think it's particularly good, but I'm very surprised. This is the third worst match of the year. Like, it was just a little mini movie. It lasted 5 minutes. Like, were you that bored? He chased around the ring, stuff happened, spooky shit, and then appeared the Fiend. That's half an hour where I swore there, Luke. Sorry about that. You're welcome. Cheers, sorry. But yeah, like, I'm surprised. Like, I thought it was, like, funny, a little bit memorable. A bit corny and a bit crap, but nowhere near as bad as other things.
I wonder if a lot of the nominations that came in from this just came off the back that people really didn't like the Alexa Bliss character this year. And I think that, and I talked about this a lot on the Raw podcast, I think that a lot of that negativity towards the Alexa Bliss character at the end of 2020 and into 2021 was because it felt like WWE giving Big Show the yes chance. It's like, we love this guy, and WWE being like, oh, you don't actually like that guy, you just like the thing that he does. And that's what it feels like. You don't really like the Fiend, you just like the thing that he does. So we'll just give it to a different character over here, and you'll just like this new character instead, you big idiots. And I think that a lot, and I wonder if that really did affect the nominations. Because I kind of agree with you, Adam. Like, for me, not good, and probably one of the worst matches this year, but not the third worst match this year, I would certainly say. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you guys. I don't think it was that bad. Like, it wasn't good at all. But if there is one positive we can take out of it, it's that this whole feud made Randy so upset with all that stuff we got RK-Bro. So, you know, that's a positive that he was like, yeah, I don't want to do this other stuff. Can I just tag with Riddle for a bit? So, you know, swings and roundabouts, I guess.
Swings and roundabouts. So, I've been going through the point scores. You'll have noticed there that Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton got 41 points. In second place with 103 points.
Oh, hang on. Can we guess, Pete? What do you think it is? Do you think it's zombies or Wyatt Orton?
Wait, does that mean that Blood and Guts isn't on it? I guess. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone remembers Blood and Guts.
Honestly, no one nominated it at all. It didn't get a single nomination.
How negatively it was received.
I know. When you mentioned it, I was like, oh yeah. I'm surprised like it didn't even get like a one-pointer, but not a single nomination for it. Superclick versus Jurassic Express and Christian Cage was a one-pointer.
But what? Blood and
Guts, I know, right? But Blood and Guts wasn't.
Crazy.
I think this
is why it's gotta be.
It might not necessarily be. I think it might be zombies, because Wyatt Orton, I think, will be fueled by the fact that Bray's gone. And I think that will be the rage vote to put it to number one. I think zombies is here.
That's his last match, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
This is it before it was released. This is it.
Yeah.
you think Wyatt Orton, I think zombies, put us out of our misery.
So with 103 points, 28 nominations, 6 top level nominations. From WrestleMania 37, it's Randy Orton versus The Fiend.
Wow. People hate zombies that much. I mean, I do, geez.
One of those top level nominations was mine. I thought this was easily the worst thing that WWE has done all year long. Because that storyline with The Fiend was, The Fiend lost, The Fiend lost again, The Fiend got burned, Alexa Bliss beat Randy Orton, then The Fiend lost again, and that was it. This story was dreadfully terribly told. It was the dirt worst on TV every single week, and it went on for months. This feud started in like November and it finished in March or April or whenever it was, and Fiend was gone for 80% of it. It was really, really awful. I hated every single segment that they did, and I thought this match was not even just a bad finish, because the finish was awful. That jack-in-the-box thing with Alexa Bliss and the ooze coming down her face and whatnot, Randy Orton winning. It was a boring match as well, like a really bad match. For me, this was my worst match of the year. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that this is the opening of night two of WrestleMania 37, because after night one, I feel like there was a lot of like, oh, this is going to be a really good show. You know, we had the great Bianca Sasha stuff. We had Cesaro Rollins on night one. We had the Bobby Lashley Drew McIntyre opener, which was actually pretty good, despite, you know, Bobby winning and stuff. AJ and Omos had a pretty fun thing in the middle of like at Bad Bunny on night one. It was like at the end of night one, it was like, oh, wow, this is going to be a pretty good rest minute. And then they open with this, like a distraction finish, one, to have the Orton win, two, to have weird goo Alexa on top of a jack in the box, three, that went 5 minutes.
Yeah, five minutes.
What? That's the culmination of the feud?
It was a third of the length of Tag Team Turmoil.
Oh,
God, you really know how to slide the knife between the ribs, don't you, Luke?
Good God.
Adam, you thought this was going to be number one. Why did you think it was going to be number one?
So this was my number two as well, just because there's something about zombies. I get it, but I really thought this would infuriate people more. I think it's not even the match. The match is bad. Like, I actually quite like the Jack in the Box stuff. Like, when he jumped off the Jack in the Box, I'm like, okay, fine. Sure, why not? That's a bit of weird prop comedy. And I didn't expect them to do Firefly Funhouse again. I didn't expect it. Although, with Randy Orton, there's generally few people who would fit the Firefly Funhouse more, who's got that much history and that much kind of lore behind him in the WWE. I didn't expect them to do it, but no one expected this. Goodness me. I thought it would go short. I the 5-minute thing doesn't bother me, because I thought the Fiend would show up and just eat Randy's soul. But no one saw this coming. And I just remember it just like sucked all the air out of the stream on first as well. Way to set yourself up with your fans. Like, how do you not? It's that disconnect. It's not necessarily disrespect for the fans. It's the sheer not understanding how this is going to affect your show, your fans, your sense of occasion, your people backstage who, you know, put their heart and soul into some of these ideas and creativity. Like, it's that complete obliviousness that genuinely makes it hard to justify watching it. Like, how can you pour time and money into a company that is so oblivious to your preferences and wants and its own employees? How do you? Yeah, maybe this should have been number one. It really maybe should have.
For my money, I think it should have been, but I think, as everyone could probably work out, at number one, 123 points, 28 nominations, bearing in mind that 35 people submitted, 28 nominations, 19 top-level nominations, Damian Priest versus The Miz, WrestleMania Backlash, the Zombie Lumberjack match. Zombies are real, and they were in WWE.
Oh, that cheered me up, Luke. Thank you. I was getting all cross.
You're welcome, Adam. Pete, zombies are real. And they were lumberjacks in this match. Did you watch the film afterwards?
They killed The Miz. The Miz died.
WWE's brand integration is so flawless. Like, every time they knock it out the park.
Triple Tower Pizza Hut. Hell yeah.
I was genuinely about to say, how was that Battle Royal not on this list? It was such Battle Royal from Survivor Series.
People did vote for it. People did vote for it. Where did it get to?
It's in my top 10.
Talking, I'll work it out. I'll work it out.
I put it in mine because, oh boy. WWE's corporate brand zany antics, I have zero time for. Zero time for it.
That was the Rock's thing.
The Rock Battle Royal got 3 points across two nominations.
Good God.
Robbed.
Terrible.
Robbed.
Anyway.
Adam, sorry, Pete, you go.
Yeah. Zombies. what are they doing? It's a wrestling
actual
match.
Zombies.
What you doing? Why are you here? Why are you eating? Why are you standing on the outside like normal lumberjacks? You're zombies. What you doing?
They've got to obey the rules, Pete.
Stupid.
Adam, you've actually, like, you know, co-run a wrestling promotion. Would you have zombies as did you ever have zombies as lumberjacks?
No, we had musical chairs though. I didn't book it. We had musical chairs.
That musical chair segment on Raw is one of the best things to ever happen on Monday Night Raw, and I stand by that.
Oh man, like, I would pay so much money to watch, I don't know, to watch Bruce Pritchard pull Punishment Martinez aside and like, right, let me just lay it out for you. Have you heard of Netflix? Because they're doing this movie. And is the movie good? No, it isn't. Don't worry about that, though.
Not really.
It's a terrible movie. Generally, I'm more annoyed about how bad the movie is than I am about this, because it's purged through my system now. That's the thing. It's just I'm at one with the fact that WWE you know, they did an egg at Survivor Series, you know. I rewatched Survivor Series 2000 the other day just because for fun, and like the opening package is like Triple H, you know, you all bought it, nothing will ever be the same. You know, like proper moody classical music, like intense. Half of the intro promo package for Survivor Series this year was literally clips from Red Notice, like.
But as Pete said, their brand integrations, they're flawless, Adam. It's so just good. Like no one else does it like them.
Quite apropos, there is zero humanity left in WWE. It is a shambling, undead, slathering mess that needs a bullet to the head.
Oh my God, it was real, real bad. So let's go quickly run through the worst pay-per-views as well. Same voting system, the same voters as well. Not making it into the top five, AEW Revolution did get 8 points across four nominations. Elimination Chamber 2021 got 11 nominations, including one top level. WrestleMania 37
really?
Actually got... Yeah, Elimination Chamber. WrestleMania 37 got 23 points as well, with wow. 8 points. Eight nominations, rather. SummerSlam nearly made it in. 36 points.
SummerSlam didn't?
SummerSlam wasn't in the top five. And Crown Jewel didn't make it into the top five either. 39 points, 10 nominations, including four top level, but it didn't make it into the top five. What did make it into the top five, however, was Extreme Rules 2021. 47 points, 19 nominations, two top level nominations. I would wager the most of that is the Alexa Bliss stuff with like the tearing up of Lily and that finish. But Adam, you look shocked by that.
That's not number one. That's not number one. Like I know we rag on WWE a lot, but their pay-per-views are on average pretty good this year. Like WrestleMania Backlash had the Zombies match, but every other match on that card was brilliant. Like that's the thing is like we can rag on WWE for its insane choices, but like this wasn't number maybe Survivor Series, but this wasn't number one or number two. That's insane.
Extreme Rules had Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch and ended in a DQ. That also happened.
And Eva Marie and Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss.
Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss. Yeah.
There was only one match with different rules on the entire card, and that was the main event.
Regular rules.
It was regular rules.
Regular rules.
How is this not number one?
It got less nominations, 18 nominations, three top level nominations for our number four entry, Hell in a Cell 2021, 59 points.
I was just thinking about Hell in a Cell because they did all the Hell in a Cell matches around the pay-per-view. What are you doing?
They were like, there was a Hell in a Cell match on Raw, there was a Hell in a Cell match on SmackDown, and then there was two on the show. There was Bayley and Bianca Belair and Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre.
They were both good, though.
What I would say, though, I think a lot of this comes down to, again, Alexa Bliss, Shayna Baszler, and let's not forget, Charlotte Flair beat Rhea Ripley by disqualification when she smacked her head against the announcer.
Yeah. Oh, God,
won the championship. What a great show.
Oh, God, you're right.
God. also, Seth Rollins beat Cesaro, which just kind of robbed the entire point of their WrestleMania match. But yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah. Well, number three, 63 points, 18 nominations, six top level, WrestleMania Backlash. I think, you know,
completely undeserved. Such a good show. It had Roman Reigns Cesaro in the main event. Bobby Lashley versus Braun versus Drew McIntyre. One of my matches, one of my favorite matches, like of the first half of the year.
I think that is all zombie votes. That is
damn, man.
Yeah, wow. I think it's unfair as well. Because actually, you know, the triple threat between Rhea, Asuka, and Charlotte was dead good as well.
Yeah.
At number two, 22 nominations, six top-level nominations, 78 points, Fastlane 2021.
I can't even tell you what happened on that show.
I was about to say, I was hoping you guys would be able to tell me because I am a Scooby-Doo what happened on that show.
Let's look it up. Fastlane 2021.
Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan?
Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan in the main event.
Yeah, I think it was,
Edge was a special guest enforcer of that match. Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton.
There you go.
Drew McIntyre and Sheamus in a no-holds-barred match.
Yeah, that was good.
Really good. That was really good.
Piss out of each other. That was good. Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura. Big E and Apollo Crews for
they had probably the Braun Strowman versus
Elias. Yeah, that was a bad match.
Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks.
Oh no, that's terrible. It made them both look like champs. Yeah.
Yeah,
it really did.
Yeah.
Roman versus Bryan. 30 minutes that match went, and it was dead good.
And also on the pre-show, Retribution broke up.
Oh yeah.
You know, when they promised Ali that they were going to have a big WrestleMania angle to at least end the group properly. And then they did it on the Fastlane pre-show.
And he's
working
through an injury. Oh, man. Poor Ali. What a year.
Ali has been so mistreated. I mentioned this in a news video recently, but his entire WWE career, like coming in and pinning WWE champion Daniel Bryan, and then like almost winning Money in the Bank, but Brock Lesnar did it, and like getting injured out of a gauntlet match, and then Kofi Mania like stealing what could have been his spot kind of thing. And then, yeah, nearly winning Money in the Bank and Lesnar stealing it at the last minute and then Retribution. And then, oh, my God, like what? The Hacker.
Thank you.
Oh,
yes, the Hacker. Yeah. Thank you.
Like, so much stuff. It's just, what are they doing? I feel really bad for the guy.
Which would mean at number one, 85 points, 24 nominations, 8 top level nominations.
It's got to be.
It's Survivor Series 2021.
Yeah. All right.
Now, I don't think I voted for this because I had so much fun on the stream.
It's not a good show, though.
Well, here's the thing, Pete, is I think my enjoyment of that show and the fun that the four of us had, like, is some of the most I've laughed all year long. And I think that really has colored my enjoyment of the show. I'm like, I had a great time watching it. But top to bottom, aside from the Becky Lynch Charlotte Flair match, not much going on the card in terms of like really, really good matches. And also, nothing felt like it mattered. It felt so unimportant. And that battle royal was so bad.
Awful.
And then obviously there was all the golden egg stuff as well. Adam, you and I reviewed this show directly afterwards, and we just got to talk about how the fact that Vince McMahon is back and he's got a golden egg, and we thought it was going to be this months-long storyline, and it culminated the following night when all of the stars of Raw and SmackDown were on the same show, which was basically Sami Zayn and Tamina. and Natalia, sorry. And yeah, Vinnie Mac came back with a golden egg, and everyone cheered. Do you remember that? He stepped out of that limo and everyone cheered him, being like, oh great, Vinny's here. And
I 5 days after the 5 days after the releases, of course.
Yeah. Oh man. Adam, Survivor Series, worst pay-per-view of the year. Do you agree?
Two things in the wrestling world made Ollie Davis cry this year. One was the return of CM Punk, and the second was that egg. So it's the most remarkable. It's remarkable in its unremarkability. Like, I cannot remember a Big Four where nothing happened as hard and as hilariously as this. Was it necessarily the worst show? I think Extreme Rules is worse as a show, but like, I get it. Like, nothing happened. It was, the entire thing was smeared with this gross, cynical, corporate, money-grabbing vibe. And like, a week after the releases, like, it was the worst possible time to be a WWE fan, and they did nothing to right that ship whatsoever. Yeah, truly dire.
Not just Red Notice money. Pizza Hut money was there as well, Pete. It was a brand-heavy episode of a pay-per-view.
It sure was. And the thing is, I think it's like Adam said, there might have been worse shows in the year, but the fact that it was just after releases, so people were already a bit upset at WWE anyway. The fact it's supposed to be one of your Big Four, and you just done Crown Jewel, and you've not promoted Survivor Series at all, and to have nothing on the show. No stakes, no nothing. Like, they didn't even know their stakes. They're like, brand supremacy, I guess. But then they didn't actually count, like, what brand won how many matches in the show. So that didn't matter either. It was just...
I actually forgot who won the nothing. Matches.
Raw,
was
I think.
The women's show? Yeah, was it?
I don't care.
I think Raw. I don't know.
I just... cares? We're putting more thought into it than they had. So, like, yeah. I just... This was so boring the whole night.
But we had fun.
But the egg.
Oh,
he did.
Golden egg.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling.
The Rock, your cousin, the Cambridge's Golden Egg. Would you like to see my Golden Egg from Red?
I've seen Red Notice now. It's fine. It's fine.
Someone has stolen my Golden Egg, Adam Pearce. We need to get the stars of Orange Smackdown together on the same show so we can find out who stole my Golden Egg.
There was never an egg. He just imagined the whole thing.
Yeah.
Robo's there being like, yep, cool egg. Great egg there, boss.
He just came out of the limousine. Look at this egg. It's Cleopatra's. Yeah, great. Please don't fire me, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great boss.
Yeah, let's forget it was actual Cleopatra's golden egg. Anyway, and zombies are real. So that's all we got time for on this edition.
What a year.
Of the WrestleTalk podcast.
Also, just very quickly. Just want to point out that the Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Natty and Tamina women's tag team title match from night two of WrestleMania was 5 seconds longer than the gauntlet match from the night before.
Half an hour of Tamina. 5 minutes of the Fiend. Half an hour of Tamina.
No wonder people got behind her. That's all we've got time for in this edition of the podcast. Thank you all so much for joining us. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let us know in the comments down below. Thank you so much, Pete and Adam, for joining me on this journey.
Welcome.
Thank you to everyone who nominated. Thank you to everyone who voted. I have been Lou Cohen. That has been Chopper Pete Quinnell. That is Adam Blompier. We'll see you in the new year, everyone. Take care. That was wrestling. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.